Did you enjoy that? And I appreciate them being here. They've been a blessing. I really have. I'm going to have to talk fast. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to listen fast. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis, if you will. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Maybe I snoozed and you said this. Next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we're having a vacation Bible school meeting. So all you folks who are participating or helping with the vacation Bible school, next Saturday, June 23rd at 9 o'clock, right in here. And so we really appreciate it. We really need you to be there. So put that on your calendar. And just to wave a flag here, within the last week or two here, the Janice and Darren Russell celebrated 25 years of marriage. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give them a hand there. Tom and Cindy McConkie celebrated 40 years. You're only 24 now, aren't you? And I don't see Ken and Shirley Ravenstein. He's been fighting a lot of things, but they're getting ready to celebrate 60 years of marriage, Ken and Shirley Ravenstein. So I appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles. We've got a lot to cover here, and come to this message with fear and trepidation. Depends on how much time we get, how deep we get in this, but about the response I'll receive on this. I preach what I preach because I love you. I love you enough to make you angry with me. But I want you to know the truth, and I want you to walk with the Lord to be as close as it can be. And so just be patient with me here. It may not be as bad as you might think, or if I don't have time to get into some of these things here, but there's some things it needs to be discussed. And this is Father's Day. And you'll see where I'm going here in a moment. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply." Now he can only say that to a male and a female. "And replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Skip down to verse number 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, just the way he made it. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." This is probably going to be one of the most politically incorrect messages I have ever preached. So hang tight. I'm not here to raise a stink. I'm not raise a problem, make a problem. Do you ever buy an item and you're trying to make the thing work, and you know how men are, you know, you only read directions at the last ditch effort. If all else fails, you read the directions. And you can't understand why it doesn't work. It's because we're not working it the way it was designed to work. And yeah, you might be able to muscle something into place and, you know, have a few parts left over and throw something this way, and you might be able to kind of get through some things and make it do what you want it to do, sort of, but it's never going to work the way it's supposed to work unless we do it the way it was designed to work. God has a design. We didn't ooze up out of the mud. Now, God did make us from the dust of the earth, but it didn't happen by accident. And so we're going to talk about some things here. And again, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to hurt anybody. But the fact is, our society is running amok, and it's out of control, and it's going crazy. And people are actually not sure how to even live life anymore, because we have taken the normal absolutes that God designed, and we've thrown them out the door, and we're wandering around with nothing to hold on to. I've had some people who said we need to put some handrails on these steps. They're a little on the narrow side. And he said, we need to put some handrails on here because you know what? When you come down these steps, you know, unless you really feel good, it's a little bit precarious. And the thing is, life, if we're sitting on an edge just waiting for everything to fall apart when we don't do things as God designed it to do. So let's see how far we go here. We're getting a very late start here, but we'll see how we do. And I'm going to talk on this topic for Father's Day. Ready? Men are male. Men are male. Whether you like it or not, that's who we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you change not. There's no shadow of turning. You designed the world. We know how you did it. We see it here in your book. And Lord, no matter what anybody else says, we know that nothing has changed because you changed not. The plan is plan. We may try to work around it. And we try to redefine things. But Lord, we know truth is truth. Now, Lord, you know my heart. And I've been praying about this for the last several days. I'm praying about it this morning. And the last thing I want to do is hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. But Lord, in fact, there's probably some things we're going to say here tonight, this morning, that affects people in this room. And I remember having my toes stepped on and not liking it and hurting it, hurting and not wanting to change and bowing my back up against it. And Lord, I pray, though, that your Holy Spirit be that oil that lets the truth go down to the heart and do the work that it needs to do. So Lord, we need you here this morning. Bless our time in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis is the book of beginnings, first mention. Establishes foundational truths. It establishes the facts according to the purpose and God's purpose of creation. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's where we are in society. We have taken things that have been foundational that everybody thought was normal and foundational and unmoving, and we've even tried to take those things and throw them out the window. There's a church nearby, and again, I'm not trying to be mean. That makes it very clear they want to be open and affirming. Now, we know what that means. We're welcoming and biblical. Anybody is welcome in this church. I don't care who you are, what you believe, where it is, you're welcome to come into church. But when we come to church, I'm going to open the Bible. And out of love for you, because listen, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. And so the fact is, I want to tell you the truth because I want you to have the joy that God has given you. But that's not going to happen when we're trying to work against the creator of all the universe. That's a pretty hard wind to push against. And yet, listen, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I don't want God to be my headwind. And I don't want to be your headwind in your life either. I want you to have the joy. In fact, tell you the truth, life would be a whole lot better if we just accept the facts, accept the foundations, and just live by it. We're fighting all the time, but we're fighting against a holy and a righteous God, and only in his mercy does he not smack us down. This is something that needs to be said. It needs to be settled in our hearts of all people, especially Christians who claim to believe the Word of God and walk in the ways of the Lord. There are evangelical churches in our area that have a difficult time accepting a six-day creation. Well, no wonder they can play with other obvious truths like gender distinctions and proper roles in society. Because if you throw out creation, well, then in the beginning, God, where do you go from there? We can't get past the first few words in the Bible. Then what do we have? Might as well throw the whole thing out. This is not just an allegory. It's not just some little thing. This is not Grimm's fairy tales. This is not Mother Goose. This is the Word of God. And we've got to treat it like the Word of God. We live in a very confusing time. Our society has thrown out absolutes. And I pity young people who have been dumped into this society without the advantage of sound truth. Everything that is good and honest and pure and holy is questioned, maligned, desecrated. Philosophies of the world that mock truth are held in high esteem. People no longer even know what gender they are. There is no wonder that the suicide rate is up. Folks are grasping for answers, and the world is ripping the answer right out of their hands until there's nothing to hang on to in life, just chaos. It's a roller coaster that has run off its tracks and is running amok and a disaster in the making. What God's word says is right, but it's regarded as false and evil and as wickedness. And wickedness is held up as noble. People are applauded for standing up for wickedness. Listen, to go against God's design publicly is considered heroic these days. And those that still hold the truths of God are seen as narrow-minded, ignorant bigots. They want to associate God-fearing individuals with the flat earth proponents. And by the way, it was not God-fearing folks that propagated the flat earth and the earth being the center of the universe. And so it was the so-called scientists at the time. Just so you know. But that's okay. They can lie about it. They've lied about everything else. I mean, the devil is the father of lies. There's no problem. But now they want to blame us. That we were the ones who propagated. It's the same thing as Nero blaming the Christians for burning Rome. There's nothing to base our lives on anymore if we go along with the world's point of view. Thus, all truth is questioned and almost seen as the enemy if it contradicts our preferences. You remember a few years back, there was a woman who was the head of a large chapter of the NAACP. And they found out, though she was a NAACP head person, that she had no African-American blood in her at all. But she said, that doesn't matter because I identify as African-American. Well, I identify as skinny. Now, wait a minute, you're hurting my feelings. I'm going to sue. It's the proverbial king in the new suit of clothes. We can say it all we want, that doesn't make it true. One of the problems we have in our society is the lack of godly male leadership and influence. Now, some of you, there's some things I may say, may try to bring some things into focus. Some of these things may encourage somebody to say, well, you know what, that's where we're doing. But the fact is, our society lacks godly male leadership and influence. I'm not talking about, hey, I'm in charge, sit down, shut up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about godly male leadership. This is the lack of masculinity. This is not arrogance, pride, machoism, but true masculinity as God designed a creation to have. Many men have failed to take the God-given role as leader in the home that they're commanded to have. And they are delinquent dads, if you will. Drunken derelicts. Lazy losers. I'm sorry, that's what we do. And the fact is, guys, you know, we all have that sinful flesh. You know what we want to do? We want to go home and sit in front of the tube. I know sometimes you don't want to do anything, and I understand that. But listen, you're going to feel a whole lot better yourself if about yourself. You just go out and do something. Be somebody. A man is what he does. And if he does nothing, he's going to feel like a nothing. And he's going to spend his entire life trying to prove everybody and to himself that he's not a nothing. But down deep in his heart, he knows he is. So do something. It's the way God designed us to be. Now, many women have made a broad assumption that all men are only good for having a baby, but not much good for caring for the baby. The problem is, they have some evidence to support that. But in the effort to survive, many women have had to take on a role of father as well as mother. Many females are so fed up with males, whether justifiably or not, that they are simply sidestepping the male altogether. Two females can be given a piece of paper that says they're married, and now they have, and then they have artificial insemination, or even a surrogate carry the baby. We don't even need men anymore. So they think. Why bother with the middleman? So they take the male lead in the home, and many men are out carousing and allowing the women to lead the home. So women are raising their male children to not be like their fathers. Hang on. And to be instead like their mothers. They're feminizing our male youth until men are so disrespected as male and almost ashamed to be male that they just allow the women to take over. We are compounding the problem, not solving it. God designed the world and is only going to work correctly and efficiently when we run the world as God designed it. Maleness, if you will, is almost considered a lower life form and inferior to women in our society, which women have been trying to gain equality for centuries. Actually, they have always been equal in God's eyes. Male and female is needed for procreation in order to peace and for order and peace in society. And again, it is the world that has caused this problem, not the Word of God. It is the world that has convinced us that a woman has to be the same as a man in order to be equal to a man. The Word of God doesn't say that. I know you've heard this illustration, but for folks who didn't see, have never heard this, the fact is, if you have a $100,000 bulldozer and you have a $100,000 limousine, what their intrinsic value is the same, $100,000. But when we got ready to build a building out here, I didn't drive the limousine out there. We got a couple bulldozers, some earth movers, and we moved the dirt. But if I'm going on vacation, I'm not going on the bulldozer. I'm going to take the limousine. The value is the same. The calling is different. One is not more important than the other. In fact, one really can't do the job of the other. Now, if I get in a bulldozer and head west, I'll eventually hit the Pacific Ocean if I have any joints left at all. And the fact is, I could stick a plow in the front of that limousine and just keep pushing dirt. So now the Jesus comes, and I could probably eventually move that pile of dirt that was out here, that hill. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to be real good, and I'm going to probably hurt the. It's just not going to work. God designed us differently, and it's supposed to be. There's a maleness, and there's a femaleness, if you will. Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." What's he saying? Everything is leveled at the foot of the cross. It is almost as if being a normal man or a normal woman is wrong, out of date, as if claiming to be what God made you is inferior. I have to deny my maleness, or one has to deny their femininity. However, if I am a male, I should become, well, if I'm a male, then I need to become a female. And if I'm a female, then I should become a male. And then being distinctly one or the other, have you ever noticed that they change their actions to match the traditional way of people? All of a sudden, somebody wants to be a man, wants to be a female, what's he do? He grows his hair long and starts wearing dresses. But we're not supposed to make those distinctions. If you stand on the position that there is such thing as a man being glad he's a man and a woman being glad she is a woman, it's almost considered bigotry. We have gay pride marches, and I'm not men don't hurt. Listen, I'm not scared of them. It's not homophobic. No more than I'm thief-a-phobic. I've been at the jails. Listen, murderer-a-phobic. I've been jailed. I've been locked in prison to go and see somebody and shaking hands with men who've murdered people. But that doesn't make it right. God loves them. He wants to come to Christ, but that doesn't make it right. But it's as if we cannot. I was going to say, but you have these gay pride marches. I want to start saying, I want to have heterosexual gratitude marches. Grateful for being a heterosexual. I mean, it should be right? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say, listen, we got to think about this. We might, you say, well, we can't do this. How dare we accept us, ourselves, as being as God made us? We might make someone feel bad. And so the rights of the vast majority of the people in this world who are living as God designed them to naturally be must be set aside to appease the preferences of a few who are not sure what they are. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. This is just the reality of today. And why am I all of a sudden the bad guy because I believe God made us male and female? Up here in Boyertown, Pennsylvania, they're going through this thing right now. And they got teenagers in each other's locker rooms. As if it doesn't matter. Come on, were you a teenager? Either you're really embarrassed because, or you kind of like it. Depends on how you look at it. But does it make it right? But I feel, and I'm not trying to be mean, honest, I'm not. But I feel like a girl trapped in a man's body. Well, I feel like punching you in the nose. But I should not act upon it. I need to be by what God made me to be. Watch, sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen, sin can have a very strong draw on us because we are blinded by our sin. We become short-sighted. We don't have to kill someone to be a sinner or lie or steal. All we have to do, watch, you know the Ten Commandments? You know the last one? All I have to do is covet something that I don't have and feel like God is holding out on me. Adam and Eve started out coveting what belonged to God. The problem is that people covet what they can't have. And I'm not saying those that are confused in their gender are any worse people than any of the rest of us, but they are sinners just like the rest of us. And how their sin is expressing itself right now is what's going on in their life. Listen, be a man, guys. Be glad of it. Be a woman and be glad of it if that's what you are. Now listen, I know we got visitors here and you think, oh my soul, what did I come to this morning? And I understand that. But the fact is, these kind of things have not been solidified in our younger generations, and so here we are. We say, how did this happen? Because we just neglected the Word of God. I'm talking about men being men. But what if I fear the most this morning is folks getting upset when you delineate these things out. I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I'll tell you what, the feeling bad part comes before the repentance, and it's after the repentance that the feeling good part comes. I'm not supposed to be feeling good sitting in the mud. I'm supposed to get out and get cleaned up. Men are males. They were never intended to be women. God intentionally made men and women different. Personally, I like it. Men are not going to think like women. I'm sorry, ladies. Women are never intended to think like men. Now, this is Father's Day. The day's designation itself requires for men to be men. We may have to live in many different combinations of people under one roof. And I understand that. Tragedies and things happen. And we may love each other and care for one another. But God has defined what a family is. A father and a mother and children from that union. Now, sometimes a tragedy may cause us to bind ourselves together for comfort and safety and other combinations, and I understand that. But when we decide to redefine God's definition on purpose because it suits our lifestyle and our preferences better, then we have crossed the line into rebellion against God. We may not be able to have that, I understand, but when we decide, I don't care, this is what I want, that's a different story. Does God still love you? Absolutely. Come on. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, Christ died for the ungodly. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Does God love you? Yes. Do you love God? See, the way you live has nothing to do with God's love for you. But the way you live has much to do with how you love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord says back in Deuteronomy, He says, if you love the Lord with all thy God and all thy heart and all thy mind and soul. And basically says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. One of those directives, one of those commandments is that it is to be one man and one woman for a lifetime. God has a design for humankind and society and the family and for us individually. And to live outside of God's design is to come short of the glory of God, which is sin. Now, I've got about three more messages stuck here, and we're not going to do it. But I can't get into all of this, but let me make a couple distinctions, and we'll be done. God created two genders, male and female. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. The genders are both needed to procreate. Now He says, listen, He says, male and female, verse 28 of chapter 1 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now I understand that there's circumstances that happen and that's unable to do that. God's not beating you up and you're not out of God's will. All I'm saying is that was the basic design, and so we know that. And sometimes God doesn't allow it. I don't know why or whatever it is. There's areas in the Bible. But the basic design is you got your two genders. And it takes both of them, just as He designed them, to make it work. Watch this. Every child born is another expression of God's creation. It's life bringing forth life. And that brings glory to God. And that allows God to be seen as the creator of all life. Listen. If you've ever seen a baby born, it's an amazing thing. It brings glory to God. When God had the Noah's Ark, He said, what do you do? Take one of each. The way it works. Now, if you've gone outside of God's design and you're thus not matched in a way to bring forth life naturally, you're actually, and I hate to say this, if you decide I'm going to do it my way, you're actually rebelling against God. See, but there's ways to procreate these days without having to have a male and a female in the household. Well, that's true. It may not be in the household, but it still takes a male and a female. In other words, you want to be the one that brings forth life in your discretion, on your time, and not God's. And you want to be as God bringing forth life. It takes both. I don't have a whole lot of time with this, but it talks about, so along with that, let me talk about male. He made them male and female. Did you hear about the two boys on the girls' track team out there up in Connecticut? And they're transgenders. And so they won a race on the girls' track team. You know what happened? One took first, one took second, the rest of the girls were behind there. So you're saying men are better than girls. I'm saying they're different. They're bulldozers. You ever think, gals, did you ever realize, did you ever think, you know, it seems like all guys are just like bulls at a china shop. Man, they just plow at anything. Give me something. Give me a hammer. Here we go. Oh, we'll get it. You know, to a certain extent, God made us that way. You know, you go out there and you say, you see this frog? Look at him. You know? Listen, I know there's some crossover here and there. You know, some are not so much that way, and some are more that way, and ladies. And I know, we're all different, I understand that. But in general, guys are guys. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of definitions here, and I want you to understand this. When God said in the Old Testament, in Genesis 1, He said, I made them male and female. He uses two words. The word male, now hang tight, I'm not trying to be indiscreet here. This is kind of weird, but I'll just tell you what it is. The word male means to be remembered. Now, don't get upset with me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes we're trying to be so polite that we don't actually get the truth. You ready for this? Do you ever walk a dog? Do you ever walk a dog? There are places he marks to remember. That's what it means. That's what it means. The guy's a male. This is mine. Now, the fact is, the word female, and again, I'm not trying to be indiscreet here, but we've got to understand there, it literally means one who has been designated. To perforate, to puncture. I'm sorry, in other words, God designed a male to be a male man and a female to be a female. That's his design. It's a wonderful thing. She's not supposed to be the same, but they're a perfect match because they're different. Men are men. You wonder why he's like that? God made him. Now, we should be the Christian version of that. And ladies need to be a Christian version of what they are. Let's just kind of take all the pretense off. Men are men and ladies are ladies. Now, you go to the New Testament. In Matthew 19, they said, well, and Jesus said, God made them male and female. The male the Old Testament male means the pursuer, the aggressor. That's all part of it. Listen. You ever see two dogs fight over a bone? Men, this is my territory. This is my girl. I don't need any bird dogging around here. You keep yourself away from that girl. She's mine. And you know what? To a certain extent, ladies like that. Don't you like it when a guy says, she's mine, don't you touch her. Don't you get close to her. I'll mess up your face. I'll smack you so hard you'll go in the next week. Don't mess with her. But to a certain extent, that's right. Now, in the New Testament, the male means to lift the load, to carry the weight, to be a bulldozer. Female means to nurture, to suckle the baby. She's the caregiver. It has the idea of being the soft one and the balance of the male. Remember back when men were men and women was glad of it? Well, it was a simpler time, and it was much closer to right. She was made to be a help meet for him. And you've heard me say this. That word help means an aid. And by the way, it didn't say help mate. It's a help meet. The word meet means fitting, matching. It meets. Two things are going to meet. And it says she's the aid, the one that surrounds the care for things. She's the one who can multitask. She's the comfort. But that also means, it says, when it says a meet to, it means a front to, the counterpart, the matching mate that fits together. She's not supposed to be the same. Ladies, don't teach your men, your boys, to be girls. Don't feminize your men. That's part of the problem here. We're feminizing the men and we're masculinizing the women. Males are in general intended, males and females in general are tended to come in pairs to be complete. Now, it's okay to be single. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talked about someone can be abide as him being single. That's fine, no problem. There's no problem with that. But the fact is, in general, we're supposed to come in pairs. Let me give you something. Oh, my soul, look what it is. Number two, real quick, and I'm almost done. I said, men are males. Now, God's design should not be hidden, but celebrated. In other words, it's almost as if in these young folks in school, it's almost like if you're not bisexual or something crazy like that, you're not normal. If you would ever say, you know, I wouldn't, you know, if a man said, well, I'd never touch a man that way.
What's the matter? You a bigot?
No, I'm normal. We've taken normal and made it wrong, and taken wrong and made it normal. Now, hang tight with me, and don't get mad at me here. But you realize that because men are male, they should look like males? And women are women, they should look like women. That doesn't mean you wear your clothes so tight that we can see your physique. That's not what I was talking about. But there are some natural things. Males are supposed to look like men, and females are supposed to look like women. Don't be ashamed of what God made you. And do not allow the criticism of someone of the other gender deter you from being who God intended you to be. Too many women are trying to make their little boys think like a woman. Yes, we're supposed to dwell with our wives according to knowledge and thus learn about them as much as we can, but we are not to become one. God even wants us to celebrate the differences of male and female. Listen, there's gender distinctions. You don't hear this a lot of me, but I'm sorry, I don't know why, when I was praying about Father's Day message, this is what it came up with. You realize that men, because of their God-given role in the family and their natural build, normally have different jobs in society than women. And that's okay, and a woman's not less because she doesn't do a male's job. And a male's not less because he can't do a woman's job. We're just different. We're bulldozers and limousines. We're supposed to be. But listen, so the job, the men to lift the heavy loads, this may cause them to, as the Bible says, gird their loins. They have a robe, and then they have this girdle. And they would take the hem of their garment, and they'd stick it up here and wrap it in this girdle. Have you ever tried to go wading in the creek? You know, you get things out of the way so you can, you know, you could, okay. You're just moving the clothes to do that. Now, guys didn't walk around like this all the time, but the fact is, there was a job they're going to do. They gird up their loins, and essentially they made pants out of them. Now, the fact is, though a woman at times may have to do that, in general, he's saying you shouldn't have to. That's the man's job. That's the man's job. Now, I'm not saying that if you've ever done that you're a wicked person. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in general, go ahead and celebrate, ladies, that you're... In fact, do you notice what we do on the platform when a lady comes on the platform? We stand up. Why? If they were to slip, there was a problem, we want to be right there. That's what it is. It's just being proprietary. Just take care of the ladies. She's supposed to be the queen. Take care of her. If she can't do it and being modest, well, then maybe you ought to do it. She shouldn't have to be a man to do it. Let you be the man. If she has one around, you ought to do it. Now, listen. So the Bible said, watch. In Job 38, the Lord answered Job, and he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He says, gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me. God says, okay, Job, put your pants on and be a man. I'm going to tell you something. What's he saying? Man's got to be willing to hold up to the hard things, the difficult things. Stand up and be a man. In Job 46, he says again, Lord, unto Job, out of the whirlwind, said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Stand up, be a man. Now, some folks will say that the Bible is sexist. And you can call it what you want, but to not follow it and agree with it is still rebellion against God. I've got to give you one more at the time to go, but I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 11. You ready for this one? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14 says, doth not even nature's self teach you that if a man have long hair, is a shame unto him? You know what it means? He's not prepared to do the heavy labor that men are naturally assigned to do. It's like girding up his loins. Long hair gets in the way. And maybe if you got long hair, ladies, and you, I mean, if your long hair gets in the way, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Maybe let the man do it. Man, maybe you should do it. Step up, be the man. Don't make her be a man to live a life. If you're gonna make her be the man, then you ought to take your turn giving birth. I tell you what, I'll dig a ditch before I'm gonna give birth. Make what God created clear in our lives. By the way, it says this. But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her. It is a glory to her. I'm not trying to be mean, folks. And this is so politically incorrect these days, you can hardly stand it. But you'd enjoy life a whole lot better if we just stop fighting God. Just let us. I mean, the fact is, that is your natural inclination. It really is. Unless you've allowed your sin to overtake you to the point where it has convinced you. It's a sin for a man to be womanly. I didn't read this passage to you, but I probably should have. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. That makes God sick. And the last thought is, I think it's sin for a man to be womanly. I think God would rather see a scar on your face than an earring in your ear, guys. I'm sorry. When I was in high school, I wore a necklace. My hair went down to here. I was saved, but hadn't been taught well. And I remember when Dr. Smith, my pastor, I was talking about, you know, trying to get into the ministry a little bit more, and he says, I'll tell you, if be honest with you, I think you ought to get a haircut. Now, by that time, my hair was... it was probably here. You know. Now, what is long? Not short. What's short? Not long. I remember going to Hiles Anderson, and I went down to the local barber. I said, where do all the staff people get their hair cut? I'm a freshman. I know they're gonna get me here. I want a haircut. I want to make sure it passes. And you probably don't, I don't know, you probably don't, didn't remember old Brother Springer. You remember Brother Springer? Yeah. He was still there? Yeah, okay, all right. And he was pretty tough. And I said, I don't want to mess up hair. So I went down there and I said, I'm freshman Hiles Anderson. Oh, wow, I know what you need. And so man, I come home and Janet says, oh my soul, never saw that much skin on your head in all my life. But you know what? That was a rule. Buck up. And so I got my hair cut. I got in line. I had waited there 2 hours. Brother Springer came by and said, stand up, son. And I said, turn around. And he says, I'm sorry, you're going to have to get out of line. Your hair didn't pass. Now, sometimes back then, they were big on joking. Dr. Hiles was still around. They had this kind of sleight of hand on their humor. And I just kind of laughed. He says, no, son, I'm serious. Didn't pass. It wasn't tapered. Okay? He said, I have a block haircut. And it wasn't tapered. Now, you could say, well, I don't want to. Now, listen. You go into the military, they're going to decide your haircut. Now, God isn't that strict. But you know what? It shouldn't look like a girl. And a girl shouldn't look like a guy. That's all he's saying. I don't know how far you want to go, where the line is. But that's all he's saying. Listen, please don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth here. And be honest with you, if we don't... we need to stand up. And we've got one. I'm sorry, way too late. But here's where I was going with this. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, that's bad, nor idolaters, well, that's bad, nor adulterers, well, that's not good either, nor effeminate, nor abuser of sounds with mankind. It's homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. The word effeminate there means, ready? To be soft and girly. A man who's playing the feminine side. Now, listen. I'm not the most masculine man in the world. Don't give me a hard time. I've never shot a real gun in my life. I'm not sure I could. I don't know. I'd have to be really hungry before I could go out and field dress something and bring it home for dinner. I'm just telling you. I like to get it from the natural habitat, my grocer's freezer. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest with you. I don't even like to put worms on the hook and go fishing, much less clean the fish. I'm telling you. I don't like to do diapers though either. But anyway, I understand that. But please, guys, be men. Ladies, be ladies. You'll like it a whole lot more. I really believe you will. And it pleases God. Now, wait. Before we leave, I don't go around looking at everybody, what they wear, what they're doing, the length of their hair. I don't. My job is not to be your policeman or look in your door or in your window. My job is to preach the gospel. Now, what you do between you and the Lord, that's your business. That's your business. And we have some, you know, leadership requirements here if you're going to serve, but the fact is it's your business. Men are males. Sorry, ladies. But they're males. When the wolf is knocking at the door, you're glad they are. When there's a spider in the corner, you're glad they are. Because they can hand you the fly swatter when you get ready to smack it. As they go screaming off into the distance. I love you. All right? It's tough, but it's truth. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you. It's been a long morning here this morning, but it's been a good morning. These folks have been very gracious. Lord, they have held on to this here. They have listened, and I appreciate their spirit in all this. And Lord, we want to be what you want us to be. Your design is perfect and it's holy. And though sometimes it may seem, we may not understand, it may seem a little bit cumbersome. Well, boy, it's the least thing we can do. You died on the cross for us. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed.